Thanks for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and to make Him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. I sincerely hope you enjoy this week's content.
Good morning, church. My name is Tony, and my wife Jennifer and I have been coming to Streams for about 12 years now. And when we first came, it was just me and her. But over those 12 years, our family has grown, and God has blessed us with the opportunity. We got to adopt three beautiful children, Ellie, Gracie, and Joel. And through that experience, I've become more sensitive. My oldest daughter, she's Hispanic, and my other two, Gracie and Joel, are both black. And it's put me in a position to be much more sensitive. I want to recognize how different I know their lives are going to be than what my life was growing up and then as they become adults. And I want to teach them as best I can how to navigate through life. I also love history. And last August, I was sitting right over here and I had been reading through this book. This is a book called Under God. And it's a book about our country and the founding fathers and about their faith and how much their faith was woven through the beginning of this nation. And I had recently read about Juneteenth. And I thought to myself, how cool would it be to come before my church on Father's Day, talk about my children, and talk about how important Juneteenth is. And then I feel like my thunder was stolen a little bit this week because it was like all over the news. But I want to take a minute just to share something with you. In April of 1861 was the beginning of the Civil War. And it was a year and a half later, September of 62, that Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring that the slaves were free. Everyone was free. But in reality, we knew that wasn't the case until the war would be won. And so for another 2.5 years, the war went on. And finally, in April of 1865, on April 9th, in fact, the war was done. At Appomattox was the last battle, and the Civil War was done. The North had won, slavery was done. But in Galveston, Texas, and other parts, but Galveston was the last one to hear about it. And so for 70 days, all the way from April 9th until June 19th, people in Galveston as slaves, when they were in fact already free, they just didn't know it yet. And so if I can connect a couple of dots for you guys, the war for your soul has already been won. You have been set free already if you haven't heard. You are free from sin. Sin no longer has a hold on us. Death, guilt, shame, we are free from it all. And I would hope that this morning we can celebrate, just like I sat with my kids on Friday and we went through and talked about the importance of June 13th and celebrating freedom. I want to pray that today you can celebrate your freedom in Christ. God, I thank you for the blessings that you put in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you give us. Lord, I pray that we would begin to enter into a new season of hope and a new season of joy, not just within our church, Lord, but within society. I pray that we would start to see hearts softened and minds open. People would become more welcoming and inviting not only to one another, but to you, Lord. I pray that we would start to see more and more people coming to know you in this upcoming season. Thank you, God, for my children. Thank you for the blessings they've been in my life. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, church. If you want to go ahead and have a seat, Idina's going to come tell us about what's going on.
Hey guys, good morning, Streams Church. So glad to see you all here. Happy Father's Day to everyone. We're supposed to introduce ourselves. So my family is David Russell and myself, and we have four children, ages 15 to 4, and they keep us busy. Yes. And so we've been at Streams. It's so interesting how time goes. This was like actually the time that we kind of arrived in Arizona. And I was standing there in my kitchen telling my children, school starts not in September, but in August. And we're from the East Coast. And they were like, what? I was like, so you only have a couple weeks left of the summer after we took 2 weeks, maybe two and a half to get here. And Streams was actually, I literally went on Google and I said, if this is anything like the East Coast, there's got to be Children's Church Vacation Bible School right before school starts. And so I actually looked up, and Streams was actually the first church that popped up. So I listened to Lloyd, and I said, okay, I registered everybody. I said, everybody's going to Children's Church Vacation Bible School. They were like, what? We haven't even been there yet. I said, it's okay, we're going to go. So we came, and so we've been here ever since. So I was super excited to be here. Just to let you know, since we've been far away from each other for some time, we have Summer Night, which is next week. And Summer Night is, we're going to have a movie. You can have $2 per person or $6 for your whole family. So, you know, Tony and I, we got some pretty big families here at Streams. So $6 is great for a movie and some popcorn. Yes, and to get out of the house. So, but we need you to register. Please make sure you register online. And for our Father's Day, we have a gift for you outside, to the left or to the right in a basket. Please stop, fathers, and please get one, and enjoy your day.
It's popcorn, the fancy popcorn, Father, so just stop by and get one of those, all right? Hey, it's great to see you today. Just so you know, going forward, keep praying for your pastors. I'm connected with a pastor who's really connected to the governor, and Dan Stephan, and so I get information. I'm getting information like last second about what's going on, and we're trying to make decisions, but Pure Heart Christian Fellowship, Dan Stephan, and I are really close. I'm a part of all their email chains, so we're sort of walking step in step with them. And they forgot to offer how to navigate a pandemic in Bible college. They didn't have that class. I know how to run a vacation Bible school, if that ever comes up, but I didn't have the other class. So if you have an issue right now, I'm having this ear work done by an ENT. If you have a problem, come talk to me on this side, all right? Because I can't hear a thing right now. If you think I'm doing good, you can come over on this side. And I'll smile either way, all right? So thank you guys for being here. We have a young lady. You love her. You know her. She's been leading worship for us for a year and a half probably now. And Jackie, we wanted somebody who has a great relationship with her father to come speak to us today. So she's going to give that father-daughter perspective. Please welcome Jackie.
Good morning, Streams Church. It's great to see you guys today, to all our fathers. I'm going to do a little something a little different since it's Father's Day and since I'm speaking. So I wanted to take a few minutes and interview like a new dad and a more seasoned dad. And so in first service, I had Don Bassett and J.P. McGammon. And this service, I've got two of my favorite dads. So Eric Coyton, if you'd like to come up. And I have my dad here, if you want to come on up.
Now,
safety blanket, it's your brave, making right. You brave. So everyone's going to be paying attention to the baby anyway, so they're not going to listen to what you're saying. Who's sleeping? So I'm going to ask them just a couple questions on what the difference is between a brand new dad and someone who's been a dad for over 40 years. I'm not that old, older siblings. So, but what? And you don't know what questions I'm going to ask, do you? So I'll ask Eric first. Okay. So Eric, what is something that brings you joy being a father?
I would say the biggest thing, it sounds kind of maybe corny or cheesy, but just since the day he was born, honestly, just his little facial expressions and his smiles and, he smiles the biggest when I change his diaper. I don't know, he laughs at me, but no, just singing in the kitchen with him and just sharing special moments with him. I really, I just get a lot of joy out of this little guy. So yeah.
That's awesome. What is something that brings you a lot of joy as a father? I know there are many because I'm your daughter.
Where do I start? Is this on?
Yes.
Okay. I think as an older father.
Hold on.
As an older father, being able to see my daughter grasp and hold on to the lessons that you teach them, and then become an adult, be very and. You know, Jackie's has gone after the Lord her whole life, and it's just been a real joy and a pleasure. And to see her as a young adult and, you know, leading worship, and she was always, when I would talk to her and give her these lessons, she was so attentive and just learning these things. And I think that's one of the greatest joys for me.
I'll give you the money later, okay? Thanks. You make me cry. What is one of the hardest things about fatherhood?
I would say hardest thing would be things are not the same, and this guy can be a little bit of like a dictator at times. So I think my time alone with God has changed dramatically, and I'm not able to just block out 30 minutes at 6 a.m. like that doesn't happen anymore. So hardest thing is kind of just balancing my identity, and because I think the Lord showed me, like, I could be this great earthly father and provide for Levi and feed him and change his diaper and do all these like little things, but I need to be a son of the Heavenly Father first, and I need to be a good husband first. And I think that's hard. That's been hard to navigate so far, but that'd be the biggest thing for me.
Well, from what I can see, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
What would be a hard thing for you being a father?
I think when you go through those hard years of teenagers, and older parents can all realize that, but I will say, with you go from being a child's hero to a goat, and you hope that this turns around, and as it did for all of our children, you become their hero again. But those are some tough years. I think the hardest thing was letting her go when she was learning, because, you know, when she was driving, she could only focus on one thing. If she was going straight, she would go fast and slow and fast and slow. You know, say, okay, keep your speed the same, and then she'd be drifting all over. But just being able to release her, that was a tough age, you know, to release her. But Jackie was a joy through all those years.
Keep it going.
I was never, yeah. The other kids, I was at the time, but Jackie was our best kid, and there was never an issue. I can't believe I'm saying this, but there was never an issue with Jackie. I mean, it was always pure joy with her. It really was, honestly.
I'm loving this. This is awesome. The last thing I would say, I think I still do that, though, as I drive. Caleb would attest to that. The last thing would be, even though you've been a dad for 2 months, what is something about being a father that showed you something about yourself?
Yeah, so like I said, my number one method to put this guy to bed when he's, or to take a nap, is to sing to him. And it's been on my heart a lot, is Zephaniah 3:17. I don't know it exactly, but it's just about how the Lord sings over his children. And so, I guess for me, it's just I'm able to see a little bit more concretely and a tangible, like, love, how the Father views me and all of his children. I want to sing to this little guy. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
I don't know. It's that's a tough one, because, I did everything right. You know, I taught you the humility and everything. I don't know. The thing you learn about yourself, that's a good word. I mean, you really do. It's a real reflection of God, and you hope that you've presented yourself as a caring, loving, encouraging father. And that's what you hope you do, and that those memories and the life lessons.
Cool. Go on. Well, thank you. All of the guys knew the questions I was going to ask them, except my dad. I thought it would be funny to put him on the spot, so I told him, In lieu of that, I would let him tell one embarrassing story of me. So he knew which one it was going to be right away.
I changed my mind.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm scared.
I was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, I'll get this story. Okay, so Jackie, I play guitar, and so she learned on my guitar how to play. So she had saved her money. She wanted this beautiful blue Fender guitar. And so she saved her money. She was in probably junior high. We go to the music store. She's got the money in her pocket. She's so proud and happy, and we go up there. And so I tell her, let me talk to the guy, okay? So everything's negotiable. So I'm in there, and I'm telling the guy, okay, I'm giving him a hard luck story. This poor girl, you know, she doesn't have much money. She's in junior high, doesn't have a job. Give her a break. This is her first guitar. I'm trying to talk the guy down, and he, you know, we're going back and forth. And I go, yeah, I don't know. He's giving me a price. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think she can do that. That's too high. And Jackie pipes up, Dad, I've got all the money right here. It's like, You're killing me. Work with me, Jackie. Come on, work with me here.
Sorry.
So, yeah, so he goes, I'll throw in a strap and a couple of picks. It's like, yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for answering my questions. Can we give them a round of applause? I got something for you. Thank you. I'll give it to you later. So thank you guys so much. I'm gonna have to pay you later. Like, that was awesome. Well, because it's also Father's Day, I really want to pray a blessing over the men in our house. And so I would like all the dads to stand and actually all the men to stand, because even if you're not a biological father, you are a spiritual father in some way. You influence someone somewhere. And then I would also like the women to stand. And I would like the women to extend a hand to the man next to you. And we're going to just pray a blessing over them. God, I thank you so much for the men in this room. God, I just hear you saying that the men standing in this room are all men of honor. And they are men that love you, and they are men that serve their families well. They serve you well. God, I just echo what Eric said earlier, that may the revelation of who they are as sons of you, God, increase. May you give them strategy as they carry the weight of their homes and carry the weight of the world on their shoulders at times. You give them wisdom and strategy and favor and blessings in their work, in their families, in their homes, with their children, with their siblings, and with their employees. God, wherever their realms of influence, God, I pray for the fathers that are watching online right now, that you just touch them with your presence. God, show them they are sons of the good Father, and show them that they can only father out of the Father's heart. God, we thank you and we love you. Amen. Well, regardless of a father that is new, or if you've been a father for a long time, there were some consistencies we heard across the board here. Fathers, good fathers, like the ones that we spoke to this morning, and some of the ones that we know, they're sacrificial. They find joy in the everyday moments, the discoveries of their kids, learning new things, watching them succeed. And heard this in the first service and in this service, that they just enjoy being with their kids. They enjoy just interacting and connecting, smiling, and just that those whole moments. They also carry the weight of the world. I know, watching my father and just seeing the men in this room, you carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. It's up to you to provide for the family. But all fathers, good fathers, great ones even, still fall short. Sorry, you still fall short sometimes. Some fathers fall short a lot. And some fathers aren't even running the race. They're not even present. Some fathers are the villain in your story. And some are indifferent. Some are your heroes. But regardless of the father you had, they all fall short. Because there's only one father who truly carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, whose sacrifice was the ultimate gift to redeem all of mankind and bring us to life. Jesus was the ultimate sacrificial gift. He has never fallen short. He has never missed the mark. And many of us know the song, His love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. In fact, the goodness of the Father, just like we sang earlier, is running after us. His love, His goodness, has gone before us and has been coming after us all throughout eternity. In John 14 through 16, if you want to know about God the Father, we talk a lot about Jesus and we talk a lot about Holy Spirit, but if you want to know about God as a Father, read John chapters 14 through 16. We don't have time to really unpack it here, but I challenge you to read through those three chapters this week. So in John chapter 14, Jesus is telling his disciples, if you know me, then you know the Father. So from now on, you know the Father and you've seen him. Philip kind of tries to argue with him and he says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then later in chapter 16, he says, it's time that I have to go. And it's better for you that I go, but I'm sending someone that's just like me, the Holy Spirit, to come and abide and reside. So we have the Father perfectly represented by Jesus, who is then perfectly represented by Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to say that again because I don't want you to miss this. The Father, from the very beginning of time, who was for us, set everything into motion, is perfectly represented by Jesus, who came directly to us, face to face, who's then perfectly represented by Holy Spirit, who lives in us, so that we could have the goodness of God with us every moment of every day. The goodness of God is running after us throughout all of eternity. Are you guys catching that? From the beginning to the present to the future to forever. His goodness is running after us. Always. This is my favorite Bible. I have many Bibles, but this one's my favorite. It's the most nostalgic. I got it when I was 18. It has my maiden name on it, Reynolds. I carry my father's name on it. And it's got highlights and notes and things for when I was first walking with the Lord and learning about him in a real way. And, you know, I like that it has my father's name on it. As you can see, we have a great relationship, but I know my father's heart, and so I know what matters to him, and I always wanted to try and make him proud. But I don't want you to miss this. I don't carry my father's name because it's written on a book. I carry his name because I'm his kid. And we carry the name of the Father because we're his kids. So if we carry his name, it means we can carry his heart. And in John 8 is the story of the adulterous woman. This woman caught in adultery was brought to Jesus by a huge crowd, bigger than any crowd of protesters. I'm just trying to give you a picture of the amount of the crowd. And they all came with stones in their hands. They're the lawmakers, the religious, the accusers. They're there for a show. They want to see what Jesus is going to do. And they want his judgment, his condemnation, so they bring her to him. And we know that he writes in the He writes, and I can't wait to see it on DVD in heaven. Like, I am convinced when we get the whole DVD collection of the scenes that week playing out in the Bible. Like, you want to see the Red Sea parted? That's going to be a DVD you can check out. What he writes in is like the season finale of your favorite Netflix show. What did he write? We've been reading about this all our lives. What did he write? So I'm convinced that that's a thing. So we don't know what he writes, but we know that whatever it is he did write, and the grace that he brought into that situation changed the atmosphere so dramatically, it caused everybody to flee. And he was left alone with this woman. Imagine the biggest crowd of protesters you can imagine, and all of a sudden they just disperse on their own because of an atmosphere shift, because of something written in the sand. So they're all gone. Everybody left. So I want you to picture right now just Jesus and this woman, this moment. What is happening? What is happening in this moment? This is a father-daughter moment. This is a moment that Jesus wanted to restore her. And there's not a dad on this stage or in this room that would care about a crowd if they had an opportunity to have a restoring moment with their kid. Because Jesus is about the moment. He's about the one. You are his one. And he would stop everything and disperse everyone to have that moment with you. Jesus will always stop for the one. He will always find the one. He's the perfect father. God is the perfect father. And he's better than we think. So if he's better than we think, we have to change the way we think. He longs for those father-daughter moments. He longs for those father-son moments. He's always about the one. Don't miss this. You are the one. So if I could leave you with one thing, if his goodness has been running after you, take it, embrace it, and use it for your one. See the one. Find the one. Love the one. You don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. You don't have to be an evangelist or a preacher or try and
save a million souls. But if you'll change the way that you think about the goodness of God, about how he feels about you, the one, and how he feels about the one, the abandoned, the overlooked, the unseen, the underestimated, if you will say, God, I will see, I will look, I'll find the one, and I will love them. If you will do that, then you will experience the goodness of God in its fullest. Will you stand with me as I pray for you this morning? God, first of all, God, we thank you. We humbly thank you for choosing us as your one. God, I thank you that I'm your favorite and that you tell everybody in this room we are your favorite for choosing us. God, we thank you for giving us your goodness from the very beginning, giving us Jesus, the goodness of your sacrifice, to giving us the goodness of Holy Spirit who lives within us, who guides us, leads us, and communes inside of us. God, we accept your goodness this morning. We receive the fullness of your goodness, no matter what relationship we had or have with our earthly father. Your goodness has been running after us. God, help us to take your goodness and to find the one that you've placed in our lives. Help us to see the one in our workplace, God, in our families. Maybe that one is our spouse or our children or a coworker, God, or someone we're mentoring. Help us to find them and see them and give them the goodness of God and show them the goodness of God. Now, we can't do anything out of striving. We can't try harder. We can come closer to the Father. God, but help us to take your love, embrace it, and use it. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, there's going to be more videos throughout the week to kind of go into more in depth about God as a father this week, so be on the lookout for that. Fathers, make sure when you leave, you take some of the popcorn with you. But we just want to thank you guys for spending part of your Father's Day with us. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day grilling and chilling. So have a great day, everybody. Be blessed.